Tim Bersalotti is here with us now. He is a brilliant political scientist and a guy who really understands where the votes are and what's happening. Okay, let's talk about the 15 rounds of voting required to elect Kevin McCarthy as U.S. House Speaker. Does that tell us anything from our perch here in Massachusetts, or just looking on in a more general fashion?
Well, it tells us that the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives is fractured and the majority is fragile. And Kevin McCarthy had to make a fair number of deals to get the votes he needed for the speakership. It was an extraordinary political spectacle over several days. Here's what we know. Of the 435 seats in the House, the Republicans hold 222. That's four more than the majority that they need, 218.
Not a lot.
Democrats are at 212. There's one vacancy, a Democratic-leaning seat in Richmond and the suburbs in Virginia. The winner of that seat, a veteran congressman by the name of Donald Eakin, passed away in late November. So there will be a special election soon. Special elections can sometimes be referendums on the president. And so the Democrats can't take that seat for granted, but it's pretty likely to end up back in their column. So there aren't a lot of votes for Kevin McCarthy to lose from his caucus if he wants to get things done in the House. So he had to make some deals. Now, not all of these agreements are in writing or even public. It's more speculation on the part of the Washington Press Corps. But some of the agreements suggest, for example, that Kevin McCarthy had to promise three seats on the House Rules Committee to members of the Conservative Freedom Caucus or conservative members who tend to vote with the Freedom Caucus. It's a 13-member committee. Nine seats held by Republicans, four seats held by Democrats. Jim McGovern, the congressman from the 2nd District here in Western Massachusetts, is the ranking member of that committee. He was the chair in the previous Congress. So the conservative Republicans, the far right wing of the party, hold very influential seats, and that committee decides what bills get to the floor for a vote, how much time will be devoted to debate, and most importantly, whether the bill has an open or closed rule, whether the bill can be amended or not. Bills that can't be amended, the Democrats are at a disadvantage. They can't shape the legislation. It just has better prospects of passage. So, important committee. Kevin McCarthy had to promise seats on that committee to folks on the far right of his caucus, and we'll see how that plays out. The other concession that he needed to make was how to remove the speaker. There's a mechanism called motion to vacate the speakership. And under the Democrats, that motion could only come from the Democratic conference. So you needed a large number of Democrats to agree for that to happen. Under the Republicans, one member of the House can pursue a motion to vacate. So Kevin McCarthy has 221 bosses looking over his shoulders at every turn. He's got to be very careful about how he comports himself. He's going to be limited in what he can do as speaker.
Now, we have divided government in Washington. What are the implications that you're looking at?
Well, it all factors into the presidential election cycle as well. The Republicans will be loath to give President Biden any victories in the remaining 2 years of President Biden's term, especially if President Biden decides to seek a second term.
Which he will, right?
Well, he has promised an announcement imminently. He has been saying early February. He's giving the State of the Union address on Tuesday, February 7th. There's a lot of speculation that he will declare his intentions prior to that time. And if he is a candidate, the Republicans will not want to give him any victories. In fact, the expectation is that the Republicans in the House will be running investigation after investigation of the Biden administration. They're going to want to look at the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan in August of 2021. Folks may remember that was a sudden and not always orderly withdrawal. They're going to want to look at the border and immigration. And of course, they're going to want to look at the classified documents that have been found in the president's possession at his home in Delaware and at an office that he used in Washington after he left the vice presidency, but before he was elected president. So it's investigations 24/7, most likely, coming from the House Republicans.
Let's talk a little bit about two of our old friends who we used to talk about here all the time because they were in power, Representative Richie Neal and Representative McGovern, who are now in the minority. Are we going to hear anything from them?
I think we will. They're in the minority, but they have a fair amount of seniority in the caucus, and they remain the ranking members of very powerful committees.
Yeah, by the way, I want to point out that ranking means that you're that's the highest, you're the highest in your party, as opposed to stinking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Correct, yeah. And so they are in a position where, should the Democrats regain control of the House in 2024, they could return to very powerful committee chairmanships.
Sure.
And the margins are thin, and a fair number of swing districts could send the House back to the Democrats in a couple of years. So I don't think they're going anywhere. And we've seen in their media appearances since the start of the current session, they're willing to speak out and maintain a fairly prominent public stature. So I think we'll be hearing a fair amount from both of the members of Congress from Western Massachusetts in this coming term.
So if they get back, if the Democrats get back into office, into the majority, do they assume their top jobs again, or is there something to be thought about here?
It all depends on the rules that the new speaker, presumably it would be Hakeem Jeffries, if the Democrats return to power in 2024. A lot of it would depend on the rules that the new speaker would put in place. Sometimes chairmanships are awarded based on seniority. Sometimes it's more of the discretion of the speaker. Sometimes it's voting. So we don't know, but I think it's a safe bet that having formerly been chairs, unless they didn't want to serve again, they would have a pretty high likelihood of returning to those positions.
Let's talk a little bit about Senator Elizabeth Warren, very much in our periscope, looking out at contemporary politics. What's her role?
So she has made clear two things. One, that she believes President Biden should run for another term. If he didn't, there would be an open question as to whether she would run for president again or seek re-election to the Senate. Her seat is up in 2024. She has made clear her plans are to seek a third term in the United States Senate. She's been reaching out to political contacts. She has been making plans to run again for another term. So a lot depends on what President Biden decides. Right now, her plan is to go for a third term. There had been some talk of Elizabeth Warren is 73. That is beyond retirement age for most of us, but that's quite youthful when it comes to the United States Senate. And if the Democratic bench in Massachusetts was hoping that she would step down over after two terms, that does not seem to be likely.
And how's Biden polling when it comes to all of this, the larger picture?
The average job approval for President Biden on Real Clear Politics at the time we're taping this is 43%. That's all right. It's up from a low of 37% in July when inflation was taking off, gas prices were going through the roof. As a president potentially seeking a second term, though, you sure want to get that number up higher. The classified documents issue, has it taken a toll? It's not apparent from the approval rating, but ABC News and Ipsos North America released a poll a few days ago that showed that a majority of the country felt that President Biden had mishandled those documents. An even larger majority felt former President Trump had done the same. And a plurality, about 43%, said they felt that President Trump's actions were more serious than President Biden's actions in this regard.
Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a great guy to come on and talk to us at regular intervals. And thank you so much, Tim.
It's a privilege, Alan. Thank you.